Hey, we're delighted to we've flown in Eric Beda from downtown Jackson, your local State Farm agent. Your local Farm Bureau agent. Well, you'll give me that one, won't you?
Yes, okay. yes.
I knew there was a farm in there. Now, you were down the street. You moved downtown. Talk about your move.
Greg, we moved from Horton Road all pretty much there all last year. And then this year just had some conversation with the chamber. And so they had some opening in downtown above the chamber office, the entire second floor. And so Craig, the chamber CEO, was just so gracious and offered us the opportunity to lease that. That space, and so we moved in January, and so it's been a great move for us. Just have an opportunity to expand and to grow there. So I went from one person, now it's two of us. So I've we have some additional staff members that we're adding, and then we're looking at adding more in June. So there's definitely the space has been sought out for the opportunity to really expand. So
just to be downtown, is that helpful, Eric?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in fact, downtown is a place that's becoming vibrant, growing. In fact, I've had conversation with individuals who've 20 years ago were familiar with downtown, and I told them, well, that's the former downtown. Downtown now is certainly vibrant. Things are moving along. A lot of businesses are moving into downtown, new construction. So downtown Jackson is where you want to be. And so we're grateful to have the opportunity to be in the midst of the action.
Yeah, it's living space is the key, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. Especially for younger generation. They want to be in a community such as the downtown where they can live, work, and really be involved. And so I think downtown provides that opportunity for living, working, and doing all sorts of things. So
what's new with Farm Bureau?
Farm Bureau Insurance, it's growing. It's certainly it's a Michigan-based company. So we always let people know we're right here in Michigan. You don't have to if you have a claim or an issue, you call. You're not going to have someone from Florida or India pick up the phone call. These folks we're right here in Michigan. Our CEOs are right there in Lansing. And so some of the new things that we're doing right now is really just trying to be more customer-centric, customer-focused, at least from my agency perspective. I want my clients to know that, hey, Eric Beda is someone that's concerned about you, someone that knows about you because he lives in this community. He's with you in this community. You're more likely to, your kids may be playing with his kids on a soccer team or whatever have you. So we're here. We're trying to be more supportive of our customers, particularly dealing with the pandemic, where people really are strapped for financially. And so we've done some things to help our customers from that perspective. To help make the transition easier for them and to really help them understand what they have as far as insurance.
How has that been an issue for the industry, the pandemic?
Well, insurance, I mean, it's certainly, you know, a joke I tell people in the midst of the pandemic or not, you know, there are a few necessities for us as people. You need shelter, food, and you need insurance.
Not necessarily.
it has been, and it is difficult for some families. But the insurance industry has found ways to be lenient and be more supportive of families. So we found ways to help people place their policy, particularly with people who are now working from home. They're not very mobile. We will have moved their policies from active to park. So another way, you can park your vehicle. And so that can lower your policy from whatever you're paying to maybe like 0.25% of that. And mm-hmm. so So it's been a big saving for people to be able to move and kind of make some move on their policy. So we've done that for a lot of our clients and to accommodate the needs, especially the financial needs. So
how has that insurance changed over the years? People used to buy insurance really kind of as an investment. I don't know if they do that so much anymore.
Well, Greg,
maybe they do.
Yeah, I mean, for me, certainly you still have the, especially with now things being mobile, you can easily buy insurance on your phone or on a computer. But I tell people, especially when I'm engaging my clients, I tell them, understand what you're buying. Insurance is not like buying a product in Walmart or in a store, and once you purchase it, you put it on the shelf.
You can't feel it.
Yeah, it's not that. Insurance is a little bit more involved than that. And the issue is when people purchase insurance and have a need for it, and now you're looking through it and say, oh, wait a minute, this is not cover. Oh, that's not cover. Oh, I thought this was cover. That's why I bought the policy. Well, you didn't read the fine print, or an agent did not go through the process to help you understand what you were purchasing.
That's why an agent, to me, is so critical.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, part of what I try to do with my client, I'm not trying to turn them to insurance professionals, but I want my clients to understand what they're purchasing, what you have, at least the basics, what's covered, what's not covered. And then, obviously, we help the client make sure that they are in a position to easily, if they need to contact us or call us, we're there. Even after hours, they can still contact us, and we're making ourselves available for those clients. So,
well, besides insurance, you've volunteered your time here with the county. Tell us how that's going.
Yes. Yeah, Greg, you know, it's funny. working on the county's anti-discrimination policy committee, I've learned a few things. But one thing I learned for sure, I don't want to be a politician. I didn't think that.
That didn't take you long.
I did not think that. A simple committee dealing with anti-discrimination and diversity will be such a politicized conversation. And so I think we've been at it for almost a year now, this committee, the committee work that we've been doing. It's been difficult. I mean, really, seven committee members, and of the seven committee members, you have four community people and three politicians.
Right.
And so it's been very difficult because...
How's the racial breakdown?
The racial breakdown, you have two blacks on there, myself and Reverend Darius Williams, who's also a county commissioner.
Okay.
And the rest, all Caucasians.
Okay.
We have one woman on the panel from a gender diversity perspective. But other than that, I mean, it's just been very, very interesting because we all have different school of thought as far as what direction we think we should go. Some of us have a little bit more experience in dealing with the subject. Myself, I've certainly spent more than 12 years of working in that environment, diversity and inclusion, all those things.
Sure.
And so I had a different perspective on the conversation. It was a difficult process, and I would say we are at the point where we're getting ready to present the finalized policy to the county commissioners, and they will have an opportunity to vote on the policy and hopefully accept it. And if it's accepted, then it becomes gets adopted by the county. So yes,
are you happy with the policy?
It's it didn't 100% go the way I envisioned. Again, with seven people,
which you would, you know, That's predictable, right?
Right. With seven people, you have seven different mindsets, seven different perspectives, yeah. And seven different experiences, and seven different school of thought. And so, it was kind of a give and take. You know, really, it was very political, give and take. You give up this to get that. You get that to give up this. So, but overall, I think we have something that's palatable, something that we all can chew on and feel good about at the end of the day. And so I think one of the difficult aspect of the of the policy is the understanding of different terms.
Sure.
What is equity? It was difficult. I think that probably took us several meetings to for all of us to come around to the idea, this is what we feel this equity means. And so in a conversation of anti-discrimination, really equity it's a huge school of thought. People have different perspective on it. And so that really took a lot of time to digest that and to really put some teeth into that.
Is equity and equality, is that the same or no?
Absolutely not, Greg.
Okay. I didn't think so.
No. In fact, we had some committee members look at equity from a financial perspective. You know, you're dealing with equity as far as investment, balance sheets and so on and so forth. And we had to say, well, that's not what we're going. We're talking about social equity. And so I think that the best example I've heard about equity, Greg, is, and I'm sure you probably heard of it too, is dealing with the idea of three individuals going to a baseball game, or three individuals being given bicycles, right? So the baseball piece is this: three individuals all have three different heights. Okay, they all go to the baseball game, and so the one that is, let's say, 6'5", he's watching the game from the heel, and they all kind of have a fence that's keeping them from seeing the game. But the one that's 6'5", he can easily see over the fence, and so he's kind of providing an update to the other two short guys about what's going on and who just hit a home run. And so the second person, he's slightly taller, so he's right over the fence, and then the third person barely cannot even see over the fence. So really, the first two individuals are having a great dialogue about the game and who's up to bat and who is next and so on and so forth. Whereas the third person cannot see anything, so he's asking them, "Hey, what do you see? Update me. Give me an update." And so the idea of equity is that you take a crate, if you will, and you place it underneath the short guy. It gives him leverage, or the height, to be able to see over the fence. And so then the conversation becomes, is it unfair that the short guy was given a leg up, if you will, or a crate to be able to see over the fence, so that he can have similar dialogue about what they are looking at? Or is it best not to give him the leverage and to allow the other two to kind of update him on what's going on? But obviously, if he can see the game himself, he has a different perspective on the conversation rather than being given updates from the other two who have the appropriate height. So equity is saying that is being provided the same opportunity to everyone. Right. So that means for me to have the opportunity that I may have extra leverage to get the opportunity. And I think that's where we all kind of had an issue, because some people were saying, well, why does Joe Blow have to have an extra leverage that's unfair to the other two who don't have the leverage? But equity is saying, because the other two are tall enough, they don't need the leverage. They can see the game. The short guy is the one that needs the crate or the leverage to be able to see the game. And so that's where you have the squabble. And the federal government does this all the time, Greg, especially when we're dealing with financial aid. The low-income kids have more access or opportunity to the financial aid funding than the kids who come from more affluent community and have more financial support.
Yep.
And so is that unfair to give the kid that came from a low-income community more financial support from the government so
or
that they can have
an opportunity?
Right, yeah. So they can have an opportunity to an education. And so really that's where equity comes in. And that's where I think a lot of people have a difficult time understanding or even feeling empathizing for those that don't have much, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can see where that could get tricky.
It did. I mean, it was very tricky. You know, people, they were saying, well, wait a minute. Well, why should we give more support to this person? Because historically, this person has been disadvantaged. So by the county providing more opportunity for this person to have employment opportunity or contracting opportunity to contract with the county and have construction projects or whatever projects that the county bids out, that's where it kind of got a little dicey with the committee and really just had different people feeling differently about that. So it was very interesting.
Jackson County would never be accused of being too diverse. I know one of the issues, I'm just curious whether you got into would be the sheriff's department, where, of course, now we have an African-American
lieutenant
as the number two man.
Right.
But for decades, there were no.
Yeah, actually.
There was no racial diversity there.
Right, right. No, he's a good friend. Officer Simpson, great, yep. Good friend there. We've had that conversation, in fact, with the committee, because I think one of the things I didn't know when I joined the committee is that the county has limited jurisdiction in certain parts of the county. Let me back up. The county commissioners have limited jurisdiction in different parts of the community. So, like, for instance, with the sheriff's office, my understanding was that the county commissioners were more responsible for their budget, but did not necessarily have jurisdiction as far as who they hire or how they ran their office.
Right. And I'm not blaming them.
Right. And so one of the things that we've done with this policy, because that was one of the kind of the tussle among the seven committee members, because we were being told, well, maybe you should write the policy where the county county has control, so that we can have a better opportunity to figure out the hiring practices there, because the county will have a better control versus trying to write a blanket policy where it touches the entire county and we may not necessarily have control in certain departments. And so we went back and forth and I said, well, wait a second. Our goal is not to create a opportunity where departments who are, I would say, are voted into office, such as the sheriff area, and I believe the treasurer and other area where the office is led by a politician. We should not create a policy where they have an opportunity to opt out of following what the policy says, but rather we should create a policy where they will have the privilege and coming alongside and say, hey, though we're not mandated, because we're politicians or we have been voted into office, we're not mandated by the county to follow this policy, but yet we will opt in and support this policy. So we wrote it in that manner versus saying, well, let's not include the sheriff's office and the other offices that are not mandated to acquiesce to the language that's in the policy.
Hey, I'm just about out of time, but let me ask you, so this is ready to go?
Yeah, absolutely.
To the commissioners?
Correct. So we looked at
what's your prediction?
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, you always kind of obviously you hope for the best. So my hope is that all the at least the majority of them will vote to move this policy forward and adopt it, and so that the county, it could be adopted across the board by the county. That is my hope. That's my hope.
So that it's something you can live with.
Absolutely. I think we can live with it and build upon it. And so it's drafted in a manner where we can build on it and grow and continue to move forward as a community. So, yeah. And we hope that the entire county, not just the county, not just government, but also private sector, will see this as something that they can model their practices after and follow as well. So your consumers' energy, your other companies in the community can see this as an opportunity to come alongside and follow these diversity policy.
Well, thanks for the update.
Thank you, Greg.
Or was it a warning? I'm not sure.
No, I think it's an update. I think it's an update. Always a pleasure, Greg, to spend some time with you. Absolutely.
Eric Beda.